life and a little sports. You know we're gonna play some games, and if nothing else, you know we're gonna have a laugh.
Well, let's see. Lester has no sleeves. Puffy has no shirt. Stoff, stand up and let me know if you're wearing pants.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God. What are you eating, James?
I'm eating a bowl of oatmeal. Brooksy just brought me a bowl of oatmeal because she's that wonderful.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
You know, she gets these. She doesn't go on the Twitter much, but she gets updates once in a while. Like, she does have a Twitter account. And I guess, I don't know if you can get alerts to different accounts. I'm not really familiar with these technological things, but I guess she gets alerts to my account. So the other day, she's watching TV and she says to me, what is things Brooksy says? What does that mean? I said, honey, that's an award-winning new segment we started. And she said, "What? You mean you actually you repeat things that I've said to you that you think are funny?" Yeah, it's kind of like that.
That's exactly what it is.
Funny and insightful.
Yeah, it's very insightful. Brooksy has become obsessed with a family of robins that is in a tree right outside our window. And so basically she sits and watches these birds 14 hours a day. She's watched from the building of the nest to the consummation through the cloaca.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Our listeners will know what that is.
Yes, they better.
One of my three children asked me the other day, how do birds mate, Dad? And I said, the cloaca, you idiots. Don't you go to school?
Common knowledge. Come on.
It's the one piece of valuable information that's come out of this podcast. And now the birds are getting big. And except the mama bird, the nest is so close to the window that if Brooksy or I or the dog puts their head against the window, the mama bird feels threatened. And like one of these days, she's going to start to attack the window or something. But anyway, it's just a little bit of nature that's happening in our family right now. And it's really changed Brooksy.
I have a very similar story, except we have a family of birds living in our barbecue we just discovered.
Oh.
So, yeah. Free dinner, baby.
Well, we already know Puffy would have smothered them to death by now. What are you doing?
I'm staying out of the way. I'm going to let nature take its course, and hopefully they'll get out of there and I can make some burgers eventually.
Well, Brooksy pointed out a video to me online of a guy in, I think, Germany or something, and he's got owls, big-ass owls, right outside his window.
Nice set of hooters you got there.
And so when he watches TV, like the owls watch TV with him. It's fascinating. Nature's taking over the planet. How is everybody?
Doing okay.
Pretty good.
Oh, the FedEx guy is here. The FedEx guy just rang the doorbell. The FedEx guy usually is followed by the UPS guy, who's followed by the Canada Post guy. All three trucks make stops here every single day for some reason, even though we're in a pandemic!
Brooksy went running to that door.
There's Brooksy. Hi, Brooksy.
She's waving two packages at me.
She finds out when you're doing the podcast, and that's when she gets them delivered, so you don't see.
It's a veteran move. Do those guys ever get there at the same time for an awkward showdown?
Not yet.
They know each other. What are you talking about? They're going for beers after, social distancing beers.
Oh, don't ruin it for me. I always thought there was like a big time beef there.
I saw the UPS guy giving the FedEx guy the bird.
That was on the Twitter. I will occasionally question Brooksy and say, why are we buying so much? And this isn't without a joke. She feels it's her job to keep the economy going. She says,
she's doing her part.
And I try to explain that if we continue to keep the economy going, our economy will cease.
Well, very true.
The other thing she does now is put leaves peanuts out for. She's become so in love with nature that she has a giant bag of peanuts and she leaves it out for the squirrels and the blue jays, and she's named them all, and it's a freaking Dr. Doolittle, our backyard now. It's insane.
Wow. What? I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
Lester, you just reacted the way we usually react to your jokes. Puffy, we were just, before we went on, we were talking about your glorious nature background. You're by a pool, shirtless. Yeah. This is not in the Danforth in Toronto where you live. Where are you?
No, I'm up in East Gwillimbury at my in-laws' place.
Oh, hold on, Puffy. You're like 10 minutes away from me here.
Seriously?
Yeah, I'm in West Gwillimbury.
You're that close to East
Gwillimbury? I'm West Gwillimbury.
Get out.
We typically don't get along, but...
Do we have a rivalry or are we friendly? Is this like East and West Germany?
There used to be a wall by the Costco there. Well, we took it down.
Seriously, no, Puffy, drop by and say hello. I'm in basically South... Aurora is basically South Gwillimbury.
Yeah, it's all Gwillimbury.
The whole world is Gwillimbury.
Seriously, be careful about publicizing where you are all going to be together, because the next thing you know, 10,000 people will show up.
Yeah, you're going to have f***ing John Tory show up.
Without his mask on. That was the best part.
So for people not in Toronto, you've probably seen this because I'm sure it was national news on the past weekend.
I think it was international news.
Yeah, you had 10,000 people show up in a Toronto park. Basically, all the scenes that came from Florida and Alabama and places months ago that we were all mocking, it actually happened in Toronto. And I guess my question would be this, Puffy. Do you think that 23-year-old single Puffy would have been at that park?
No, I've never been to that park in my life, so there's no chance I would have been there. But
you get texts from your buddies.
Yeah, I probably can't really lay into them too hard. I probably would.
I don't think so. I think you're responsible. We didn't have pandemics back then. You chase the party wherever it goes, but I don't think you would. I was disgusted by that. It really bothered me. And if it sets us back, here's an example. My chiropractor. So just one example of the hundreds of thousands of people whose businesses have been affected by this. And I had been texting with, he's also a buddy, and I was texting with him last week and saying, are you going to be able to reopen soon? Not that I'm actually pretty good right now. My neck and back are okay, but I was just concerned about his business because a guy like a chiropractor, 100% of his income is from actually having to be there and to treat people. And he said, yeah. We're a couple of weeks away. And then this thing happens. And he texts me on Sunday and goes, well, that probably cost me another month income or something of us not being able to open up. So it's just so selfish and frustrating. And that's.
Well, look, I'll tell you. I mean, I was watching CP24 was kind of live there all day, and I watched it in the morning, and, you know, it was spaced out. No problem. I thought, OK, this is reasonable. People want to get out, that's fine. But by 4 o'clock, I just couldn't believe it. And, you know, it's one thing, you know, I get people, you know, people like that. I mean, one of the things that's been said is, oh, people down there, they live in condos, they've been cooped up for a long time. I get that. I totally understand that. But there was, like, at least if you're going to do that, I mean, there's really no excuse to getting in a park and partying, you know, and that's what they were doing. And then you don't have a mask, you don't have any gloves. Like, come on, guys. Yeah. You know?
No, you're bang on, Lester. Yeah, There's no problem going to the park. Everybody has a right to go to the park, and I completely understand it. But once it gets to that scene, you know, get the hell out of there or whatever that may be.
Yeah, the problem is it's one thing leads to another. It's like, you know, a couple of days ago when once things, I guess, lightened up a bit, I was walking the dog, and I saw one family visiting another on the driveway, and they were kind of spaced out. And by the time I came around the neighborhood, when I came back, they were all on the porch pretty much side by side. And, it, you know, and I don't know what their relation is to one another and whatnot, but it's just...
Yeah, I have, you know, I have two teenagers and a 20-year-old here who, you know, have been getting anxious. And so one of my daughters had two of her friends over the other day by the pool. But I just said, you know, you stay in, I didn't say 6 feet apart, just stay 10 feet apart. If you're going to sit on the pool, then one person sit on the other side of the pool and so on and so forth. And they were really good about it. And I was jackass dad who went out and checked on them every 15 minutes just to make sure they were doing it. I, I get the need to get together, but now that you're outside, you can get together and keep apart. Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to
100%. Yeah, you're right.
Dedicate our entire podcast to this.
No, we can't. We can't. Well, come on, we can't talk about that. Well, we got to talk about the award winner. The award winner in the midst. Hey, stop. Puff.
Number
hey.
Was that number 58 for you, Jimmy? How many of these have you won?
Look, I don't keep track. Eight.
Congratulations.
Wow.
No, thank you. Thank you for listeners. It was one of these Canada Screen Awards that nobody cares about, but I appreciate it, guys. Stoff sent a very clever graphic where the graphic they used to announce it, he just changed it to the Rubber Boots podcast winning the award, which that is my finest work every single year.
Yeah.
Yes.
I say this with a bit of embarrassment. I had no idea. I did get an email last week that it was on, but I completely forgot. And so Ken Volden, one of our bosses, I'm sitting in the kitchen and I get a congrats text. And I just helped Brooksy with dinner, which I never help Brooksy with dinner very often. I'm a terrible cook. And so I'm thought, how does Ken Volden know that I help Brooksy with dinner? So, and then I started getting all these congrats texts, but thank you guys. I appreciate it. I know nobody cares about Canadian Television Awards, but it's always good to be recognized. And I will say, we had Andy Petrillo, Kate Burness were both nominated this year, and I mean this sincerely. It's always nice to win, but I do have a few of these, and I really wanted one of them to win. Kate did the NBA Finals and the Women's World Cup, and I thought she should have been recognized. And Andy always does fantastic work. So, and Scott Russell, also from CBC, who's great, was nominated too. So, now it sounds like I'm getting a speech. Thank you to all the nominees. I felt so awkward. First of all, it's awkward to win an award in the middle of this, right? There could be nothing less important than television awards. And mm-hmm. so then they sent out an email that said that they were hoping that we would do record acceptance speeches and post them on Twitter. And I'm like, there is no chance I am doing that.
Okay, come on. Right now, for the listening audience, please give us your acceptance speech.
All right.
And ladies and gentlemen, the winner for Best Sportscaster, James Duthie.
Thank you so much, guys. I'd say I was shocked, but this is the eighth one, so I was basically expecting it. There's a lot of people to thank, but mostly it comes down to the stars of the podcast that I work on every week, and that would be Bump, Lindsay Hamilton, and Zach the intern.
He's referring to the Three Lawnmower podcast.
You're the three that make this happen, and you're near and dear to my heart. No, anyway, so there was no way I was posting an acceptance speech, but thanks to you, to all you guys and everybody at TSN. And then you people are congratulating you. You guys are also nice to send texts and congratulation texts. And it's just weird. How do you answer those? And then do you have to tweet something? I don't like tweeting things because the way Twitter is now, all your replies go into everybody's timeline. So if I'm thanking people who congratulate me, then I'm clogging people's timelines and it feels so self-serving. Yeah. So I just end up DMing people to say thank you because I don't know. It's just weird. Yeah. I will say this. I was very proud and I said this on Twitter. The show that Ryan Rashog and Josh Scheinman and their team put together on the Humboldt Broncos was honored. And I know they felt awkward too because it's very strange to win an award for out of such a tragedy. But Rashad, all those guys, and you know Ryan in particular, basically gave 6 months of his life to that story. And in meeting with every single family and making sure that they were okay with content and developing relationships, and it really deeply affected him to deal with that much tragedy. And I think affected him for the better part of a year or so. And Ryan is such a good human being. And so, again, awards for something like that are weird, but I'm really glad he was honored. I think it's the first one he's won. And there could be nothing more deserving than that. So,
now, Jimmy, did Brooksy give you any extra attention with your award-winning night?
Okay, so I will never ever get a big head or not be humble because no one in my family cares whatsoever about any of these things. Brooksy, I would take in the early years, this will sound like a humble brag, but I got nominated a fair amount and I would always lose to Ron McLean. And Brooksy doesn't like losing. And so she got sick of getting dressed up and having me being married to a loser all the time. So, so I think she gave up on the awards at that point in time. And literally she was watching Mad Men.
What you watching?
And I didn't even know whether to tell her. So I didn't tell her. And then later on in the night, she was watching her fourth episode of Mad Men. And she said, why are you on your phone so much? And I said, I'm just writing these. People are sending me congratulations notes because I won that award again. She goes, that thing again? That was a reaction. Yes. So anyway, it's like I said, I don't take it for granted. It's very nice to be honored. Brooksy definitely does take it for granted and doesn't care. And that's why these people say, where do you have your awards? And they're down in the basement in the workout room because there's no way Brooksy would have them on display in her in-style home upstairs. Rashog actually told me, he goes, oh, mine's going right in the background of my shot now. So excited. If I was to do a background like that, it would basically look like Stoff's background right now.
Wow.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
Stoff, by the way, has gold bars in the background. I don't know if we made that clear off the top of the podcast at all in honor of our friend Puffy.
Excuse me, what have I got in the background, fellas?
The rebounder.
Come on.
The rebounder.
This is my basement. I've got quite a bit of Habs memorabilia down here, and just wanted to let people know. It may not be gold, but it's gold to me.
Yeah, we have to put. It's a good thing you put post the clips occasionally every week, Stoff, because we talk about our backgrounds a lot, and it's an audio podcast. So,
all right,
even just put a still frame out. It's kind of old by now, but Puffy, I wanted your feedback on the match. Did you watch it all?
I did watch a little bit of it. It was pretty cool. Like the Tom Brady was unbelievable. I mean, to make that shot in that moment after like in the bed for as long as he did, and then to hole it out from the fairway is unbelievable. Unlike with 6 million people watching, it's so incredible.
Holy crap.
He was awful though. Like awful. I don't know if you watched all of it, but for 10 holes, he was awful.
Well, no, that shot was on like 7 or 8, wasn't it?
Okay, so besides that shot, and on the back nine, he had a few good shots, but we're not talking like he was hitting, 150-yard duck hooks. But I felt for him because it is like, it was so humanizing because I've been there on a golf course and you've been there, Puffy, where you have some little hitch in your swing and you can't hit anything. And suddenly, 6 million people watching you who all think you're the greatest athlete of all time. And that must have gotten his head a little bit.
Well, even Peyton was saying afterwards, like, he didn't hit a comfortable shot all day. And you're also doing this in front of Tiger and Phil. Like, the amount of internal pressure they would have been feeling.
It's crazy. Would have been...
Lester, did you watch?
I did not see it, unfortunately. No, I did not.
Yeah. Scott?
Yeah, I watched, I think, the first 8 holes or so.
Yeah. I think you have to be a bit of a golf geek to really enjoy it, but I just love watching
them being mic'd up and all that. That was a lot of fun. I think the broadcast was really well executed. Having Charles Barkley was definitely a great call. It was a pretty well put together event in my mind.
I did see on SportsCenter some highlights, and I know that Peyton was chirping Tom Brady pretty good, which I thought was
well. They
was
were
fun.
All chirping Brady pretty good at one point.
Yeah.
the most underrated thing about that production that nobody talked about, Tiger could not miss.
That Tiger went Tiger.
Now his approaches, he wasn't dialed in and putting everything to 2 feet, but he was splitting. He split every fairway, I think, the entire day. Like he's when we get to real tournaments again in a couple of weeks, he looks good again, which is awesome.
I saw clips of a Tiger physically. Looks like he's in really good shape again.
Yeah, he looks ripped, except these shorts. Okay, I'm not a big style expert, but I know enough now that shorts are supposed to be like 8-inch, 7-inch seam, right? You're supposed to show a little bit of leg above the knee. Tiger looks like he was in 1997 with those shorts below the knee. Like 2 years ago, Brooksy said, you have to lose the shorts below the knee. And so, you know, and Sean McKenzie, who I golf with, he's very much a fashion guru. He led me to get the shorts you need. I mean, it's one thing hanging around your house in gym shorts, okay, but you're playing golf in front of 6 million people. Shorts above the knee. Come on, Tiger.
Well,
right? He's not exactly a style connoisseur, is he?
Red on Sunday. That's all I can tell you.
Stoff, you got to take over the show. Take us to the Stoff content, the things that I saw on Twitter, the hypotheticals, the incredible document that, once again, you've put together for us.
Freaky pigs, strange chicks, world affairs, polar bears, fake news, nice shoes, big boobs, jack dudes, all of these things and more as I sat on the shitter. Things that I saw on Twitter.
We touched on Tory earlier, but we have another mayor that I guess hasn't beat a little bit here. So in a small town in Peru, their mayor played dead when police showed up and found him flaunting the lockdown rules in order to drink with his friends. And I don't know if you guys saw the picture of this, but basically when they say he played dead, he hopped into a coffin, closed his eyes, and just laid there. But his, I guess his social distancing mask was still on. So it's a pretty funny way to go. And his friends, I think, hid inside of drawers. So they all got busted for violating curfew.
Oh, my God. Poor Juan. He didn't even get the chance to take his mask off before he died.
That's kind of what it looked like.
Hey, it's Emilio. That was my uncle.
Oh, I missed Emilio.
Puffy wants to move to that.
Oh, my God. I would definitely be in that mayor's entourage.
Hopefully you could guide him a little bit better. All right, so this is big news for Puffy, who I know misses the bar scene.
Yes.
There's a new clubbing suit on the way.
Yes.
So there's a company in California that's creating a suit that's designed for partying and safety, and it includes a filter as well as snap-in canisters for drinking and for vaping. Now, there's a picture on the Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw it. Would you head out looking like that?
Yes.
It's basically a spacesuit.
But does it have anything for busy hands?
Your own, you mean?
Yes.
Are you talking about some sort of intricate pocket system?
Yes. If you were to meet someone that you wanted to get a little closer to, with safety, of course.
I think that might be the upgraded suit. You're looking at version 2.0 there.
Yeah. No, I would wear a space suit to go to a bar for sure.
This is a one of the worst ideas ever. First of all, clubs are the hottest, most uncomfortable, sweatiest places ever.
Yep.
Now you're going to put a helmet over your head with a shield. Second of all, Puffy, if you were back in your college bumping and grinding days, I think it would just be a whole coat of plastic. Boom. It's like hitting the boards in hockey. it's not going to work, Stoff. Move on.
I'll pass on that as well.
We touched on Tyson coming out of retirement last week. It's been reported that he has actually received a contract worth over $20 million from the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, which I didn't know was a thing. But for him to compete in one match for $20 million, I haven't seen an opponent announced, so I'm guessing it's open for Puffy. So Puffy, you said you'd fight Tyson after 9 rounds. Would you fight him bare knuckle style?
Yes, for sure. For $20 million?
You're not afraid he's got the $20 million on the line as well.
No, but hold on. As long as it's a guaranteed purse, like I'm walking away with $20 million, win or lose.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if you're walking away. Your estate may have $20 million more.
Puffy, as Lester said last week, in 15 seconds, You will look like the mayor of that small town in Peru, but you will not be faking it.
No chance.
You're going to get like knocked out like Alan in Hangover 1.
No chance.
I can feel all my coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. Wham!
I just got to pick my walk-in music, my entrance music.
What do you think of when you think of that Phil Collins song?
Well, that's Phil.
The drum Phil.
For sure.
There's only one thing to think about when you hear that song. Poppy, you have to know the answer to this.
No, I don't. What is it?
Tom Cruise and Rebecca De Mornay making love on a train in Risky Business.
Oh.
Was that the song?
Of course it was. Ever Make Love on a Train, Joel? Come on. One of the greatest moments in... Well, I was like 19 when I saw it, so you know, I get excited to be more than it does now. It's the crime with actresses in Hollywood is that men get roles until they're 70 and 80, and actresses, unless you're Meryl Streep or something, it becomes a struggle more after 40.
Oh, hell, there's my urine.
I saw her in a few of those City TV Baby Blue movies over the years, though.
Helen Mirren was Helen Mirren was rescued by our podcast. Her career was resuscitated by Rod Baby.
Rod Smith, Rod Baby, yes. Rod Baby.
Continue, stuff.
The last thing from Twitter we got, we touched on the story last year when Aunt Becky from Full House, who the actress's name I believe is Lori Loughlin.
I think it's Loughlin. Loughlin.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Loughlin or something.
So Lori's pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit wire and mail fraud. And this was, I believe, for trying to pay her daughter's way into a college campus.
Yeah, U.S.
Yeah, so now she's agreed to 2 months in jail, $150,000 fine, and 2 years of supervised release.
So this is interesting because Felicity Huffman pled guilty early on this one and just sort of took the punishment. Yeah. And Lori and her husband were going to fight this and plead not guilty and everything. But eventually, I guess they got convinced otherwise. The question I would have, the $150,000 fine doesn't matter. They're apparently really rich. Are they actually going to do time, or is it going to be one of those softy joke prisons? Because if they really need to do actual time to make it worthwhile, don't you think?
I don't think they put him in now, though, with the whole COVID thing going on. I think probably in a way, crimes like this get kind of pushed to the side.
They might get away with it. No.
Well, wouldn't it be what house arrest? Fine. You know what I mean? Like, that's probably what it'll be.
Well, that's no good. That's
no.
What if Puffy was on house arrest right now? Look behind him.
Exactly. Spectacular. That's what I'm saying to you. Better situation than mine.
Although, I think the quarantine has proven to all of us that we could not even do house arrest. None of us are able to. Everyone's still going out and doing stuff. So, house arrest is harder than we thought.
I could We're do house arrest living. For 3 years if I had a golf exemption.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't do it, Jimmy. No chance.
Did you get out and swing them this weekend?
I played a little bit. There's Brooksy.
There's Brooksy behind you.
That just she's waiting because we got to go out and take some chair back.
that sounds like a nice little afternoon.
Welcome to my world. I was going to say, when I did news out in Vancouver, there's a prison out in BC that has a golf course on it where it's a minimum security where the inmates are allowed to play golf. And it was a pretty good golf course. And I said, this is almost enough to make me do a white collar crime and serve 2 years, because then Brooksy couldn't stop me from playing 36 a day. It would be awesome.
You'd work out, you play golf, you would be like, you would commit a crime in the prison to stay.
Jimmy, you go out in the yard now.
Take a guy out with a shiv to do five more years.
Yeah, a couple more rounds.
Couple more rounds indeed.
Yeah, what else you got, Stoff? Sorry, I took us on a sidebar there.
That's it for Twitter. So,
and do you have a hypothetical? Or
I got a couple hypotheticals. We can do one here if you guys want.
Puffy's hypotheticals, who really gives a crap? All the ladies want to hear is the Rod Smith recap. Blah, 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 blah. Roddy is the best, the best.
All right, so let's go with... If the NHL season resumes, especially with this 24-team pool format, this year's Stanley Cup champ will have an asterisk next to it. So you can either ensure your team wins or that the team that you hate or despise doesn't win. What do you do?
Well, these guys have already said they want to win, right? Lester's desperate to win. Puffy's desperate to win. But I'm with you. I think it's...
But if you win, then, you know, it's always going to have that, you know, incomplete feeling, I guess, that it was this random tournament.
But why would it have that? You actually have to win. It's actually harder to win this year if it's 24 teams.
Well, it's not really. If you're one of the top eight, it's 16.
It's easier to win because the season doesn't count anymore. You're pretty much letting every team in.
The regular season, really. I mean, they played most of the season. It wasn't like they played 20 games. I mean, it wouldn't have been much different in who would have made it. I mean, they've added a few extra teams.
I think the ridiculousness of it is that there is 24 teams as opposed to 16 or even less. I think they could have gone less this year. Why not just do an 8-team playoff?
I like having the extra teams to make it exciting.
Look, here's the thing. And then, look, I know that a lot of people will say, oh, there's a taint and whatever. But look, and they hate to use this word again, but look, this is unprecedented. It never happened in a modern era. So look, if this is a way to get people engaged and do something different and try to reasonably give people a chance, I mean, because you can't, because all this, I think they're really, the stuff, the reason they're doing this too, is there's a lot of teams that are on the bubble, right? I mean, not to say that Montreal would have gotten in.
Yeah, but then you're rewarding mediocrity, basically.
But aren't
those
you,
bubble teams, then they should have been higher up.
Well, aren't you rewarding mediocrity already in the Eastern Conference when all the Western teams are really, really good?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you got to look at it that way too. So this way, everybody kind of gets a chance, and you go for it. Now, to the hypothetical, I honestly want the Leafs to win.
Well, see that's exactly it, because then you can discount it forever.
No, it's not that. No, they'll be the champions.
Okay,
but they can't have a parade.
That is just cruel.
Damn you.
I have to.
You know what? We are going to have a parade. We're all going to get the clubbing suits. Yeah. We're going to all be up there.
I cannot take credit for that. That's my friend Jeff Green's humor, but that's very funny.
Oh, he's a sick man.
Yes, he is.
The entirety of downtown Toronto will look like Bell Trinity Woods or whatever that park. It'll be, everyone will be out.
I was with Christoph that I thought 24 teams was too many, but I've come around to it only because this is such a weird situation and there's so many other factors at play here, most of all being money and fulfilling TV deals and all those things that none of this is going to be perfect. It's not going to be fair in any sense of the word all the way around. And so they had to come up with this solution, some solution. They came up with this one that is probably the best chance for them to make the most money. There's a couple of teams in there that don't belong, but generally most of the teams that were still in the playoff race are in. So I sort of begrudgingly have just accepted it. And I'll take whatever if we can get to hockey because our business needs it and the fans need it and hockey needs it. But I there will be an asterisk. I think you're right, Christoph. It'll always be a weird season. But I think that if we can pull – and by the way, we're a long way from pulling this off. Like, this is just a format does not mean it's going to happen. The logistics of testing and everything still
have
to happen.
It's a hypothetical.
Yes, you're right. But I do think that if these are best of sevens, you know, forget the no fans and everything, these guys are still going to be busting their asses, whether it's in a weird biosphere quarantine situation. And that by the time we get to a Stanley Cup final, even though it will be weird, it will still feel like the victor was warranted. You know what I mean? That I don't think that it will feel as much of an asterisk as we think it is right now, even though the formula is a little bit goofy.
What if a 12 seed wins?
Then it will feel a little bit stranger, yes.
Well no. Well, why?
But,
again.
But if they've knocked off good teams in best of sevens, then I guess that's over, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But look, I mean, look at the lockout seasons of 1995 and 2012. Like, I mean, you know.
13,
sorry. Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, those are champions. Nobody's going to take the Stanley Cup away from any of those guys. So, you know, I just think, look, I hear what you're saying, Stoff and James, and I agree with you, but I don't think it's fair to taint it. I still think you got to go through and do your diligence to win the cup. So,
right.
It's just a different way.
Gentlemen, I have to go. I have to go take a chair back and then take my daughter to an appointment. So, I love you very much.
Love you guys.
And go you enjoy too. The heat. Bye. And we'll see you next week on the Rubber Boots Pod.
I got to say that, those gold bars are making me horny.
That was fully the intent.
Your audio is a little bit
that's
goofy.
Top four.
Yeah, go somewhere else just to cut this out because you're every second word. We're only getting every second word or so of you.
Maybe jump into the pool.
You got me now?
Yeah, it sounds better now.
Hey, how are you? I got a question that I really want to ask you. Wait, don't hang up. I need to know, so I'm gonna try and push my luck. Are you wearing your rubber boots tonight? Are they purple, yellow, green, blue, black, or white? Are you wearing your rubber boots tonight? And do you like the dunk tank at the fair? I know it's a little strange, my obsession with your choice of footwear in the rain. I know that you're on TV, but I need you to put your boots up on the desk for me. Are you wearing your rubber boots tonight? Are they purple, yellow, green, blue, black, or white? Are you wearing your rubber boots tonight? And do you like the dunk tank at the fair? This is the part they call the bridge, up which has water under it. With rubber boots you can wade in the water. Just don't fall in. Are you wearing your rubber boots tonight? Are they purple, yellow, green, blue, black, or white? Are you wearing your rubber boots tonight? And do you like a dunk tank at the fair?
Do you like the dunk tank
at the fair?
The dunk tank
at the fair. Are you wearing your rubber boots tonight? No, seriously. Are you wearing your rubber boots? Don't hang up. Please. Somebody. Anyone?